I'd like to call this meeting of Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it's Tuesday, May 2nd at 3:35 p.m. in Juneau in the Belts Committee Room. Let's see, please turn off all cell phones. Members present today, Vice Chair Klayman, Senator Merrick, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Chair Kawasaki. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Carrie Cooperrider from Senate Records for keeping our notes, and Sydney Truitt, the moderator with the Legislative Information Office. Today, we have quite a packed agenda and public testimony that is waiting online currently. We will have the second hearing of Senate Bill 138, Elections, Voter Registration, and Campaigns. We will have the second hearing for Senate Bill 95, License Plates, Specialty Organizations. Second hearing on House Bill 8, Electric-Assisted Bicycles. We will have a second hearing on Senate Bill 61, U.S. President-Elect Popular Vote Compact. We will also have, under bills previously heard, second bill on Senate Bill 119, State Identification Card for discharged prisoners. We will also have a first hearing on committee substitute for Senate Bill 23 by Senator Gray Jackson. With that, we'll go ahead and first take up Senate Bill 95, Special License Plates. Senator Bjorkman, can I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute?
I move CSSB for SB 95-33-LS0517/Bravo to be taken up as the working document.
I'll object for the changes. Can we have Senator Merrick and Sorsha? Sorsha coming? She is. Hello, welcome to the committee. If you just state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you. For the record, Sorsha Hazelton, staff to Senator Merrick. The changes that were made by this committee, as I understand them, remove certain 501c organizations from being able to request a license plate. We had initially in the initial version of the bill includes all 501c organizations, and at the request of the committee, some of those were removed that include credit unions and life insurance associations.
Great. Thank you. Are there questions for the sponsor of the bill or Ms. Hazelton? Senator Merrick, would you like to make a last comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Kelly Merrick. I represent District L as in license plate. As a refresher for Senate Bill 95, this bill eliminates the need for the legislature to approve specialty plates and transfers that responsibility to the Department of or Division of Motor Vehicles. As mentioned at the last hearing, Mr. Chairman, both you and the Rules Chairman have previously introduced very similar legislation. So, Chair Kawasaki, it is my sincere hope that we are able to drive Senate Bill 95 home this session.
Oh, I don't know about that. Okay, are there any other comments before we take a motion? Okay, Senator Bjorkman.
I move Senate Bill 94.
Five.
I'm sorry. I move Senate Bill 95. Work Order 33-LS0517/B from the Senate State Affairs Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Can we take a brief of these? We're back on the record. I skipped ahead. Before that motion, Senator Bjorkman, I will remove my objection to adopting that CS. And now, Senator Bjorkman, will you please make the motion?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 95, Work Order 33-LS0517, /bravo from the Senate State Affairs Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, Senate Bill 95 moves from committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We will take a brief at ease so that we can have the sponsor for House Bill 8 come forward. In the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Next, we'll be taking up House Bill 8. House Bill 8 was heard last week, and we did have one committee substitute. Senator Klayman, if you'd make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we adopt the committee substitute, which would be Work Order 33-LS0196-R as our working document.
And I'll object for discussion. We have some changes. Mr. Relay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff representative Carrick. The changes between House Bill 8 version A and R are fairly straightforward. Page 5, line 4, just conforming changes from new section to new sections. Page 5, line 5, adds a new section, AS 4123-295, specifying the Department of Natural Resources may set standards for non-electric assisted bicycles and each class of electric assisted bicycles on land managed by the department. And page 5, line 12, adds an immediate effective date. Mr. Chairman, those are the changes.
Terrific. Are there any questions about the changes to House Bill 8? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to adopting the committee substitute. We now have the committee substitute before us. Are there any last words from the sponsor of the bill?
Thank you. For the record, Ashley Carrick, representative for House District 35. Just a comment that the changes are amenable to my office, and I support the bill as the CS is written.
Great. Thank you, Representative Carrick. So no puns from you?
Not today.
Okay. All right. So if we can get a motion. Senator Klayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move CS for House Bill 8, Work Order 33-LS0196-R from committee with attached recommendations and fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, House Bill 8 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease and queue up the next, which is Senate Bill 61 on the national popular vote. I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. If Senator Klayman, if you'd restate the motion regarding House Bill 8.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The motion that I move the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 8, State Affairs, Work Order 33-LS0196-R from committee with recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? And hearing none, House Bill 8, Committee Substitute, 33-LS0196-R, moves from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. And we'll take a break. go ahead and call the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We have next up Senate Bill 61. Senate Bill 61 was heard last week. There were no amendments. We have the bill currently before us. Are there any comments or a statement from the sponsor at this time? And are there any other comments from any other member? Hearing none, there actually are two people who are on, or there's one person at least who's online who has asked to testify. We'll go ahead and open back public testimony on Senate Bill 61. And we have online with us, who joined us earlier this afternoon, we have Mr. Claus from the North Pole. Welcome, sir. If you just state your name and your affiliation for the record, you have time to testify on Senate Bill 61.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This is Santa Claus calling in from North Pole, asking you to support Senate Bill 61. I'm endorsing the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. The compact preserves the Electoral College and state control of elections. It ensures that the candidate for president who receives the most popular votes throughout all 50 states in the District of Columbia wins their election. It's worth noting that five of our 46 presidents failed to win the most number of popular votes nationwide. Electoral College electors should not continue to be able to override the popular vote as they did most recently in 2000 and 2016. Some states have a winner-takes-all policy that enables the winner of a state's popular majority vote to capture the popular minority vote so that all state electors' votes count for the winner instead of a split electoral vote count. The winner-takes-all policy is only state law and is not prescribed in the U.S. Constitution. Alaska, as you know, has three electoral votes. Each and every individual's vote throughout our United States should count. Instead, under the current system, a voter has a direct voice in electing only the small number of presidential electors to which their state is entitled. So I endorse the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, and I'm asking you to support it and vote in favor of Alaska Senate Bill 61. Thank you all very much.
And thank you very much, Mr. Claus, for calling in on Senate Bill 61 today. Let's see. Let's just ask if there's any other further testimony. Public testimony for Senate Bill 61 in the room, and it doesn't look to be anybody else online. I will go ahead and close public testimony back up. We will bring Senate Bill 61 before us, and I'll go ahead and make the motion. I move Senate Bill 6133 LS0288/B from Senate State Affairs Committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Object.
There are objections. Would you like us to take a vote?
Yes.
Okay. Clerk, please call.
No.
Senator Clayman.
Yes.
Senator Merrick.
No.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yes.
Senator Kawasaki.
Yes. And so by a vote of 3 ayes and 2 nays, Senate Bill 61, that is 33LS0288/B, has moved from the Senate State Affairs Committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. I'll go ahead and call the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We have before us a bill that was heard 2 weeks ago, that's Senate Bill 119 by Senator Myers, relating to identification cards for prisoners discharged from the Department of Corrections. We had public and invited testimony. We now have the bill before us. Are there any final statements that you would like to make as the sponsor of the bill, Senator Myers?
Thank you, Robert Myers, Senator for District Q, for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Didn't really have a whole lot of prepared to say. Open for any final questions if there are any. But just want to say to yourself and to the committee that we appreciate your help on moving forward this solution to the problem that's been identified.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other comments on the bill? I'll just state for the record that I wanted to thank you, Senator Myers, for bringing this bill forward. I think it's an important piece of legislation. Hope it helps folks across the state. I know a lot of the reentry coalitions have been asking for this, and it's something that can get folks that are coming through the Department of Corrections on their stable footing. So thank you for working on this bill. Thank you for bringing it forward to the committee. Without further ado, may I have a motion, Senator Merrick?
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move Senate Bill 119, Work Order 33-LS0711/A from the Senate State Affairs Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Great. Are there any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 119, that is 33-LS0711/A, moves from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to sign paperwork. Go ahead and call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We are moving right along, and we have Senate Bill 138, the Omnibus Elections Bill. We heard the bill last week. There has been a subsequent committee substitute. If I could get a motion to adopt the committee substitute, Senator Wilikowski.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for Senate Bill 138, Work Order 33-LS0783/B, as in Bravo, to be used as our working document.
And I'll object for purposes of the changes. Before us, we have Senate Bill 138. Mr. Longabaugh.
For the record, this is Matt Longabaugh, staff to Senator Kawasaki. All right. And going over the summary of changes to the committee substitute. We have a lot of changes here, some of them more technical than others. Starting with the first one on page 2, lines 21 to 23. The phrase, a change of residence is made only by the act of removal joined with the intent to remain in another place, is removed from current law to remove an ambiguity about whether paragraph 2 conflicts with paragraph 3. So we've got a second change on page 3. Lines 7 and 9, references to the statutes for questioning voter qualifications and challenging ballot review decisions are added. Section 3, the new paragraph 13 from version A is removed. This paragraph would have required voter registration forms to include an acknowledgement that the voter understands that if they are registered to vote in another state, the division will notify the voter the other state and request their registration in that state be canceled. And here we go. Number 4 on page 7, line 4 through page 8, line 2. A new section 10 is added, amending the statutes for notifying voters to verify their registration, to send verification notices to voters who meet several conditions that would indicate residency in another state, as well as any other voter who has not voted in any election in the last 2 years. It also adds a requirement for forwardable mail rather than non-forwardable mail, and notice to be sent by email if it's on file. On page 8, lines 3 to 21, a new section 11 is added to conform to the changes made in section 10. On page 8, line 22, through page 9, line 4, a new section 12 is added to conform to the changes made in sections 10 and 11. On page 10, line 20 through page 11, line 4, a new section 16 is added, repealing the requirement for the Alaska Public Offices Commission to have offices in every Senate district. On page 11, line 7, the phrase, in a manner that enables each voter to participate effectively in the electoral process, is removed to remove ambiguity that's in terms of language assistance. So it's just removing that, really the idea is removing that participate effectively from that language assistance requirement. On page 11, lines 22 to 28, a new section 19 is added, requiring that voters who have requested or voted absentee ballots may only vote question ballots at precincts unless they surrender their absentee ballot to the poll workers for destruction. On page 16, line 16, the word signed is replaced by the word executed. On page 17, line 30, it is clarified that an observer for any campaign may challenge a ballot review decision. There was some unclarity about what a candidate campaign was, and I was just cleaning up some of that language. On page 18, lines 1 to 2, the requirement to allow 24 hours to submit a ballot review challenge is changed to provide a reasonable amount of time to submit a challenge. Page 18, lines 10, 19, and 20, the phrase multi-factor authentication is removed for clarity. On page 20, line 7, the phrase for elections conducted by mail is removed to clarify that security trap boxes will be provided for all elections. That's something that the Division of Elections pointed out to us. On page 20, lines 8 and 9, the phrase if practicable is applied only to the requirement for drop boxes at the Division of Elections regional offices. And then finally, on page 21, lines 16 to 21, a new section 37 is added, requiring the division to develop a cybersecurity program.
Great. Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Longbaugh about the committee substitute at this time? Hearing none. I will go ahead and remove my objection to adopting the committee substitute. We have now the committee substitute before us, and we do have an amendment number one.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move amendment number one.
Thanks. I'll object for discussion. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll have my staff, David, talk a little bit about this some more, but we had talked about this in committee on a couple of occasions there. We thought, and I think the initiative sponsors thought, many people across Alaska thought, that as the votes were being counted and the unofficial totals were being released, then the director would release updated ranked choice tabulations. That was not done, and I think that eroded some of the confidence and trust that the public had in our elections process. And so this simply requires that the director release the unofficial totals of election results for the general election as the election results are being tabulated on an ongoing basis. And then it also requires them upon completion of the ballot count certificate to it's a technical change to list the rankings when they're completed. And with that, I'll turn it over to my staff, David Dunsmore, to clean up anything that needs to be cleaned up.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Dunsmore.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilikowski. As Senator Wilikowski said, this amendment adds three new sections to the bill related to reporting preliminary ranked choice voting results to bring Alaska in line with national best practices for releasing ranked choice voting election results. The Harvard Law School and FairVote have released a document with best practices analyzing ranked choice voting reporting in different states. They recommend releasing preliminary ranked choice tabulations on election night, and as well as releasing a cast vote record, which is the raw file of how each individual ballot was ranked, to allow voters to verify for themselves the accuracy of the count, and they recommend that be released periodically. And this amendment requires that any day on which preliminary results are released, that a ranked choice tabulation result be released, and it includes intent language that periodically the cast vote records be released before the final count.
Great. Thank you. Are there questions of Mr. Dunsmore? I actually have a question. Is this something that you think that the state of Alaska can comply with or is able to comply with?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the Division of Elections had emailed the committee after some of the committee member questions in the last hearing, confirming that the cast vote records can be produced for intermediate results. And some of the other jurisdictions around the country that have done these national best practices use the same Dominion software that Alaska uses.
Great, thank you. Let's see, are there any other questions about the amendment, amendment number one? Senator Bjorkman.
I don't have any questions, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to speak in favor of this amendment. I think that releasing the data and preliminary results as voters are used to those results being released when vote totals are updated is very important to the public, and is very important toward people being able to better understand the election process and how people have voted. It was very disconcerting and surprising, really, that there were unnecessary delays in not only publishing ranked choice voting tabulation results, but also counting absentee ballots, when the state had in previous elections been clearly able to count absentee ballots and produce those results that they already had the votes for. The votes were already counted in a timely manner. And I think when voters have invested time and energy, whether they work on a campaign or whether they just have talked to their friends about candidates or issues, they want to see those vote totals. The state had those votes in hand. They could have been counted. The data was in hand. It could have been produced, but Alaskans had to wait 2 weeks in order to find out for sure who was going to represent them in many cases, and that's not okay. When the state has that information, should be published and it should be produced in a timely manner. I'm glad to see this amendment move in that direction. And I support this amendment, Mr. Chair.
Terrific. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Are there any questions about amendment number one? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and withdraw my objection to amendment number one. We now have the bill back before us as amended. Are there any questions about Senate Bill 138? It does have a long way to travel, both in this body to the $5 million Finance Committee and then to the floor. It's also being worked on in the other body. So it will be refined quite a bit.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, actually, we do have people that are going to be here to testify too. So, Senator Wilikowski?
Clarify, has the amendment been adopted?
Oh, Sorry, I probably should have stated that. I removed my objection to amendment number one, and hearing no further objections to amendment number one, amendment number one has been adopted. Okay, we will now go ahead and take up public testimony. We do have several people both here in the room and online. Actually, we only have one signed up online. We'll go ahead and take the person who is online because I know she was waiting for a while. We'll open up public testimony on Senate Bill 138. We'll hear from Teresa Lewandowski of Homer. If you'd state your name and your affiliation for the record. She's not there. Darn. Okay. Okay. It looks like she dropped off a little bit before we got started. Okay. Don't see anybody else here online. Is there anybody in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 138? Okay, nobody's here. Okay, well, hearing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony on Senate Bill 138 and look to the will of the committee. Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee move CS for Senate Bill number 138, Work Order 33-LS0783/Bravo, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Objection.
Object just for purpose of comment.
Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate everybody's work on this piece of legislation. Many folks have kind of come together to put this piece of legislation forward, and it's great to see that more work is to come. I would especially like to talk about the practice of taking pictures of one's ballot in the ballot booth. And the potential danger that that could cause, as it might be very easily used to coerce people into voting a certain way or to really entice people into a reward of some kind to vote one way or another. And I think that it is good that that practice remain illegal, and not just illegal but also enforced, because a secret ballot is really important to so many people, and people should not feel coerced or forced or pressured into showing who they voted for. A person's vote should be secret, and when we start going down the road of it becoming popular on social media to show your ballot for one reason or another, I think other people may feel forced to do that as well, especially if they are in a certain group that has a political bent one way or another. So I think the dangers are real there. And when people intentionally flaunt the law and intentionally break the law, they should be held accountable. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Are there any other?
I remove my objection.
Thank you. Are there any further objections? Okay. Hearing none, Senate Bill 138, that's Work Order 33-LS0783/B as amended, is moved from committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal note. We will take a brief at ease and bring up Senator L.B. Gray Jackson. I'd like to call the meeting in the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We now have the last item on today's agenda. We have Senate Bill 23. We have with us Senator L.V. Gray Jackson and staff. Staff to Senator Gray Jackson, Harlan Andrews. Come up and present the bill. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator L.V. Gray Jackson here. I want to start off by thanking you and the committee for hearing this bill, especially considering that time is really short. First, I want to thank the hardworking peace officers and the office staff who provide the services that protect the lives and welfare of the people within Alaska's communities. I want to thank all of them for their service. Casualties surrounding civilians across the country and, unfortunately, within Alaska has drawn even greater attention to issues around policing and police-to-community relationships. This moment seems to have created real momentum to address one of the longest-standing injustices within society. In 2020, my office, along with Senator Begich's office, worked together to develop a series of bills. These bills were drafted by Legislative Legal as a bill packet that our offices refer to as TPIP, turning pain into progress. TPIP was crafted after the National Aid Can't Wait campaign, which is eight specific policies that have been proven with data to reduce police violence by as much as 72% when implemented. We recognize that the national campaign can't and shouldn't be applied to a place as unique as Alaska. Therefore, a great deal of time was spent talking to shareholders and gaining input throughout the process of drafting these bills to ensure that the proposals would be fitting for Alaska. We engaged public safety agencies to include the Anchorage Police Department, Anchorage Police Employees Association, Public Safety Employees Association, and the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives during the process. Because of a proactive approach, we were confident in moving forward with the implementation of public safety policy changes that will benefit both the citizens of Alaska and our law enforcement officers. During the second session of the 32nd legislature, Senate Bill 7, requiring the Department of Public Safety to publish certain policies and procedures on their website, was signed into law on July 28, 2022. Of the six bills I presented, I was honored to see that one move forward. During this session, I introduced two of the remaining five, of which one, Senate Bill 23, requiring the use of force registry, is being presented today. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to now read the sponsor statement.
Great. Senator Gray Jackson.
It's a committee substitute, Senate Bill 23. Committee substitute Senate Bill 23 will ensure that instances when use of force was used will be sent to the Department of Public Safety to be entered into a central registry and sent to the Federal Bureau of Investigation for data collection. The use of force database under Alaska Statutes 44.41.055 will be utilized by municipal police officer, municipal correctional facility employment, pretrial services officer, probation officer, parole officer, correctional officer, state trooper, village public safety officers, or regional officers. This report will be submitted by the Department of Public Safety under Alaska Statute 44.41.020H from the preceding fiscal year to the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives and the Senate Secretary. Additional training will be included in Alaska Statute 18.6576A, which will be disabilities training described under Alaska Statute 18.65.200A3. Currently, there is no central database that tracks instances of use of force within the state of Alaska, but there are agencies within the state that report uses of force and send those reports to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. While this central database will not be open to the public, it will be shared for employment purposes amongst departments and agencies who is hiring, as well as the Alaska State Legislature. This will allow for transparency among agencies and will close loopholes that allow officers to be hired with another agency after having a certificate denied or revoked under Alaska Statute 18.65.240C as proven by the Police Standards Council. Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, my staff, Harlan, would be honored to go over the sectional analysis for this committee substitute.
Great. Yes, Ms. Andrew, if you'd like to put yourself on the record.
For the record, my name is Harlan Andrew, staff for Senator Gray Jackson, and I will be going over the sectional analysis. Section 1, Alaska Statute 1865-220 is amended by adding new subsections B, which will require a police officer, probation officer, parole officer, pretrial services officer, municipal correctional officer, or correctional officer to report to a supervisor when an officer engaged in the use of force against a person. C requires that the council shall maintain a central registry of denied or revoked officers' certificates. D requires that the council shall adopt and prepare a report detailing the registry information to the chief clerk of the House of Representatives and the Senate secretary no later than December 1st of each year. E states that upon request, the council shall assist a department, an agency, or municipality in developing rules based on recommendations on regulations adopted under B of this section. Section 2, Alaska Statute 1865-285 is amended by replacing the word may with shall. Section 3, Alaska Statute 1865-290B is amended by defining municipal correctional officer. Section 4, Alaska Statute 1865-290 is amended by defining pretrial services officers and defining serious physical injury per Alaska Statute 1181-900B, as well as defining use of force. Section 5, Alaska Statute 1865-670H is amended by providing training in the subject set out in 1865-220A3. These trainings are as follows: physical training, methods of arrest, use of batons, use of chemical defensive weapons, and electronic controls weapons. Instruction in state's criminal and procedural law, state's criminal justice system, police procedures, disability training, domestic violence and sexual assault prevention, and response procedures, emergency trauma technician, search and rescue, and rural fire protection specialist trainings. Section 6 amends Alaska Statute 1865-676A by stating that instruction and disabilities training be outlined in Alaska Statute 1865-22A3. The statute addresses powers of the Police Standards Council. Section 7 amends Alaska Statute 2971 by adding a new section that outlines the use of force reporting requirement to the Department of Public Safety by a municipality that employs various positions. Section 8 amends Alaska Statute 28020 by adding a new subsection that details that the Department of Public Safety use a form prescribed by Department of Public Safety reporting uses of force for probation officers, parole officers, correctional officers, and pretrial services officers. Section 9, Alaska Statute 4441020, is amended by adding a new subsection that the Department of Safety will submit a report to the Federal Bureau of Investigation that relates use of force incidences by state troopers, VSPOs, or regional public safety officers. Section 10 amends AS 4441 to add a new Section B that states the Department of Public Safety shall prepare a report. C, the Department of Public Safety will submit the report from the preceding fiscal year to the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives and the Senate Secretary. The section asks for the report to be supplied by December 1st of each year. Section 11, Alaska Statute 1865-280B is repealed. Section 12, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska is amended by adding a new section that applies to employment contracts entered on or after the effective date of Section 2 of this Act. Section 13 amends the uncodified law of the state of Alaska by adding a new section pertaining to transition employment. This section sets an effective date of Section 11 of this Act to comply with Alaska Statute 1865-240 requirements. Section 14, amended by adding a new section regarding regulations of the Department of Corrections, the Department of Public Safety, and municipalities that employ a person as a police officer or in a municipality correctional facility to adopt and publish regulations from Section 7 to 10 from this Act by January 1st, 2024. Section 15. Section 14 provides for an effective date under Alaska Statute 01-100070C. Section 16, except as provided in Section 15, this Act will be effective on July 1st, 2023. And this concludes the sectional analysis.
Thank you, Ms. Andrew. Are there questions of the sponsor at this time? I guess I have one question before we open up public testimony. Actually, I'll make a comment first. I did talk to the commissioner this morning about the use of registry for use of force registry. He said that most folks or most departments do probably do this already. Do you know of any department that may not in the state participate?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's somebody here from public safety that may be able to answer that. But if I can continue, I know that there are most departments, I think, that are using the registry right now. But one of the reasons why I brought this forward, like the bill that was approved last year, is because leadership changes. And I want this to be in state statute, so when leadership changes, they won't change what should be available to the public. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Are there questions of the sponsor of the bill? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up public testimony on Senate Bill 23. Is there anybody in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 23? And anybody online who'd like to testify? Does not look like there's anybody online at this time. We'll go ahead and close public testimony at this time. Are there any last questions of the sponsor of the bill or Ms. Andrew before we set the bill aside?
I don't have a question for the bill sponsor, Ms. Andrew. Is there a public safety person online? I would like to have them either in writing or at the hearing let us know their position.
Mr. Chairman, I thought that Senator. There was an amendment that you were going to offer on behalf of the Department of Public Safety.
We will take a brief at ease. Go ahead and call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. Are there questions of the sponsor? Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. If I have permission to read briefly from the fiscal note. Thank you. It says the bill requires the Department of Public Safety to provide a report detailing the information provided by the DPS and the DOC, Department of Corrections, and municipalities to the FBI in the prior year. However, this will not be possible as the DOC and municipal correctional facilities are not eligible to submit use of force incidents to the FBI program. So I'm curious if it's not possible how this will affect the bill.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator Merrick. I can't answer that question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we do have some time. At this time, we'll go ahead and set Senate Bill 23 aside, unless you have any last comments or questions you'd like to for the record.
Thank you again to the chair and the committee for hearing my bill.
Thanks. Okay, we're going to go ahead and set Senate Bill 23 aside at this time. We will have a further hearing, and we will set a deadline for amendments on this Friday, the 8th. Or no, the 7th, the 6th, Friday the 5th, Friday, May 5th. Thanks. We will set the deadline for Friday, May 5th at the close of business on Senate Bill 23. I know that there will be a forthcoming Senate CS that I will make sure members get in advance. Is there anything else folks would like to say before we are done with business for today? Okay, well, that concludes our business for today. We do have another lengthy meeting on Thursday, the 4th. We have before us House Bill 141, establishing Don Young Day by Representative Craig Johnson. We have House Joint Resolution 3, Concealed Handgun Reciprocity between States by Representative Rauscher. We have House Bill 23, Filipino American History Month by Representative Nina. Pending referral, we have House Bill 26, Council for Alaska Native Languages by Representative Story. Pending referral, we also have Senate Bill 108 relating to non-discrimination. And we will also hear any bills previously heard or scheduled, but we don't have any quite at this time. Seeing no other business before the committee, and I just will also mention for the record that folks who are watching or listening maybe by chance, that you can send any testimony, public testimony, to the Senate State Affairs Committee. It will get to all members if it goes to senate.state.affairs. at akleg.gov, that is senate.state.affairs at akleg.gov, on any of the bills that we have in our possession at this point. Hearing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn the Senate State Affairs Committee at 4:29.